The Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
The Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show is live. That's the fact, Jack. And tonight we're going to preview and predict WWE Payback. Oh! What's up, everyone? Yeah, I know it's stupid. It is currently Tuesday night, August 29, 2023. Welcome to your WWE Payback preview and predictions. I am Don Tony, and he is...
Kevin Castle, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Not too much. You know, it's kind of you know, it does. I don't know. Maybe off the heels of AEW All In and all of that, months and months of you know, oh, the record, 83,000, 83,000. You know, and I'm not knocking them, but I'm like. You know, as soon as the event was over, it's like all the talk is CM Punk and Jack Perry. There's like really no talk about the event itself other than people trying to rub it into WWE's face, which I don't understand why.
First of all, I still don't believe it was 83,000. That looked like 137 people tops. But no, I mean, it looked like a Super Clash crowd from 88. No, I don't think that's the – I mean, if that's the record, that's lame as shit. Then visually, it didn't look like it at all. And there's nothing to rub in anybody's face because much like, you know, whether like a ball team or somebody who's like braggadocious over one accomplishment, soon, you know, everything starts coming off the rails because – as someone said recently, I don't know who the great man was, but this is a secondary company. It is because the way they're even handling this thing, and they can't get it back on track. They have no marketing team or any kind of fucking
PR.
PR talking heads. To turn this around, the bad play, oh, you know, let's not talk about this. Oh, someone to come on, whether they make a YouTube video, or they go on television, or they make a statement and put it out to all the social media platforms. They don't even, again, bloom comes off the rose, we used to say on the old show, DT. It's completely happening. I don't want it to happen, but this doesn't surprise me. You're right. All the talk is about all the dysfunction that's going on, the continued dysfunction. Chapter 2, 2003 dysfunction. We know what last year was, and ironically, one of the main guys is involved again. Maybe this time he wasn't the guy who started it, but he certainly ended it from what I heard. And, you know, I just think this whole thing, you know, he wasn't picked up at the airport. He had to take the train.
Yeah, I saw pictures of him on the train. That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. This is secondary promotional shit. Could you imagine them doing that? Then I don't even want to. He's not even remotely anymore on Roman Reigns' level. Roman Reigns is twice as big as CM Punk. But imagine them even doing that to Drew McIntyre in the WWE, right?
I know.
And just all this dysfunction. And Jack Perry turns out to be this disrespectful kind of a, you know, entitled prick. Oh, I thought he was like a nice kid, and I, you know, I'm thinking twice. And it just sounds like you know he's probably feeling good about himself right now, Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he walks into a locker room, right? No controversy. Yeah. But you know, let's also admit, you know, Kev, about, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, we used to hear a lot of controversy about the WWE locker rooms as well. And even WCW towards the latter stages, we heard about the locker room being uneasy there as well. You know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, in recent years, you know, outside of controversy with Vince and John Laurinaitis, the WWE locker room has been pretty
quiet.
Yeah, quiet. Quiet is probably the best way to put it. Just a shame. It's just a shame to see it right in your face. And the problems are so fixable, But you got a guy that, you know, it's this is WWE payback.
I know, man. Well, you know, but again, we always kind of touch upon it. In the classic DTKC tradition, we kind of, you know, have to broach some other subjects. And I think people expect that, actually.
Absolutely. Even yeah, show. Sure.
You know, again, it just, you're right. How do you pivot from this now? And how do you go back? Like, it's almost like what their TV shows tomorrow. But don't they have to kind of lay down the bad news tomorrow night that your main guy is not going to be in his hometown of Chicago?
I know.
This is a big problem. I mean,
you want to know something? My gut feeling says that he may still be in Chicago. I mean, you know, see, I don't want to get into it in detail, but if anybody heard what I said Sunday night, I'm not bragging, but everything I said was 1,000% correct. Yeah. Even the Miro stuff. People got suckered in today to Brian Alvarez saying that Miro and CM Punk almost had a fight. Kev, Miro went up to him joking around. He's like, you have a problem? And CM Punk's like, you want to fight me too? And Miro's like, yeah, let's go outside. And somebody took it literally.
I read about that.
It's just, I don't get it. I just,
Well, you know, let's be honest. You know, Meltzer and Alvarez have a thing against CM Punk. They hate him. They want to see him out.
Yes.
I mean, this is as clear as day of people who don't want to see, like, you know, certain people will be president again. They don't want to see CM Punk at all. I mean, the bias is obvious. You know, it's almost like, you know, the divisiveness of this situation with the fan base. Again, you know, there's no joy in Mudville, so to speak, because they can't. It's hard to go from this and go back and go, hey, okay, now that everything's settled, let's talk about that big crowd we had. You had to capitalize now in the next couple of days because, you know, DT, within a week in wrestling, old news.
Yes. Let me ask you this. If they don't start getting their locker room in order, and I don't know how you can when the owner is, I don't even want to say too nice. I think he's just afraid to get into, you know, his larger in life, you know, beloved, you know, heroes in their face. Are we slowly starting to put together like a Dark Side of the Ring episode in like 5 or 10 years from now, that a promotion that should have become the next strong number two kind of implodes within because their foundation was always flawed severely? And sooner or later, you know, those flaws start to wreak its ugly head and, you know, it's going to implode from within. You know, because you see the people that are running it, and there's a lot of issues. And just imagine, Kev, grown men that are, you know, that are working for a billionaire that have crazy power, and they can't, as veterans, you know, young bucks, Kenny Omega. And I'm not even trashing Omega. I think Omega is probably the most, you know, professional one in them all, but Hangman Page, how do you, like, at your stage of your career, for the betterment of AEW, for the betterment of business, and you don't have to like every single person you work with, but, you know, you all go to the dinner table together anyway because this is, you're working for a company, you're working for a family, but instead, no, we got to keep them separated. We have to have them have two separate things. And then you have incidents with individual wrestlers. And here's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that are very good friends with Jack Perry. So they're now on the side of Jack Perry with this and even more against CM Punk. And it just continues.
Yeah, the one thing is what I've even learned on in the job, in the profession that I'm at, is that some people are just not willing to change. No. You'll give them a talk and you give them a speech and you'll say, listen, you know, these are the things that you have to improve upon yourself. Okay, yeah, no problem. And they think by not getting worse, it's okay. But if they stay the same, you'll just, oh, this is me. This is how I act. And I'm not going to change. This is the way I've been since day one. And you're like, yeah, but we're starting to realize that it's a shitty way to be. Can you maybe change it up a little bit? Can you? I just think Tony Khan is, you know, like they call it all friends wrestling. I just think that Tony Khan has no control. He can't now all of a sudden, they're not going to see him as anything other than, yeah, he's a boss, but they see him as a soft touch and a guy who they're not intimidated by. People who are intimidated by Vince McMahon. You've heard people over the years even say, guys who like Kurt Angle would say, Vince is very intimidating. And not, he's not trying to intimidate you as an employee, but he's just such a, he's such a leader, you know, and people could say, well, you know, Vince, there was, you know, well, my God, Vince is no saint. No, but he ran a tight ship and this would never go on. Can you imagine Drew McIntyre shouldered Roman Reigns in the back in the locker room? And then you had Matt Riddle went up and slapped Kevin Owens. This would never happen. I mean, never happen. And I don't think you could put that genie back in the bottle. I always thought that Tony Khan had to hire a right-hand man, whether it was like a John Laurinaitis or, you know, a heavy or someone who's got to be the bad guy. You know, like a real exactly. life Adam, a real life Adam Pearce, basically, like a real yeah. Adam Pearce. You know, someone to lay the hammer down. He has to do everything. He wants to do everything, but he's the guy who does everything. But he's the master of nothing that he does, because what does he do really good besides, I don't know, spend money and act like a lunatic? I saw him in the ring screaming at the top of his lungs like a lunatic. Didn't even come off court. Everyone's like, you got to admire his passion. I says, you got to admire the amount of Adderall he uses. What do you mean you got to yeah. admire his passion? Yeah. That's I don't see that as passion. I see unhinged is not passion, DT. You know what I mean? Unhinged is unhinged. And it's just, you know, it's head shaky. How old is Tony Khan? 40, 41?
Yeah.
You know, but he, to me, he's like a 25-year-old running IBM. I mean, he's like a little kid.
It's like, it's
and again, I don't think Jack Perry thinks that. I don't think there's anybody in that locker room, from Ruby Riot to the job guys, to the guys that are on like the YouTube show, that are intimidated by him at all. I don't think there's anybody. You used to hear of DT, you know, people, I was afraid to go up to Vince. Like, you know, I saw Vince in the hallway. I was like, hi, sir. How you doing, sir? Can you imagine anybody doing that to Tony Khan? Hi, sir.
Yeah.
Not even close. Yeah. And people say, Kev, it's not fair. Vince is, you know, that's the McMahons are a foundation, 50-something years. Tony Khan is in the business. They always go back to the 4 years in the business, DT. But you know what? If you want to be a major player, when you say this is fair, DT, you got to play like the big boys. No excuses.
You know what's weird about it, though? He doesn't act this way with his football league. He doesn't act this way with his advertising, you know, conglomerates.
Yeah, why is that?
I think this is his playground.
Yes.
This is his playground. It's playtime.
He couldn't do that at in the NFL meeting.
No, they would boot him out. I mean, who's going to boot him out of pro wrestling? You know, so, hey, it is what it is. But all right, well, WWE Payback. Yes. And honestly, guys, we were going to have this little convo anyway, because WWE Payback, let's be honest, seems in many ways a very predictable show. There are some very big notable names absent from this. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a breather with the Bloodline storyline. I mean, no, they're not going to be gone for months. But, you know, they have gone so hard on everything that, you know, we're only in August still. How do you get the Bloodline to survive a series when Roman is not going to feud with anybody except for Within? He's not feuding with anyone else in the main roster, so what do you do? So they literally had to pull back, and because it is writer's strike, and now they inked John Cena for, I think, 8 out of the next 9 SmackDowns, even though he's not going to be wrestling. It's still a little ratings draw, and WWE's still negotiating TV deals. So they can't sacrifice the Bloodline on TV and have the Fox ratings start to, you know, not nosedive, but they have set the bar so high in the last 9 months, I would say, that, you know, things are starting to kind of fall apart a little bit. Not, you know, in any danger, but look at Raw's rating. Raw's rating was like the lowest in a couple of years.
Yeah.
It was like 1.5 million. There was no NFL competition. And what I think people are getting sick of is rinse and repeat with the Judgment Day. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, the Judgment Day. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Riddle. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes. The Judgment Day. We won Monday Night Raw. You know, it's just, it's, I know I sound like I'm a FUD, but I'm tired of it. And now they added a sixth match yesterday, and it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships in a Steel City street fight. Now, I guess we could open up talking about that match. And by the way, in a little bit, we're going to flash back to not only the last Payback show, but the first Payback they ever did, which ironically was 10 years ago, almost to the day. But, Kev, I'm a little confused about the stipulation, which is a Steel City street fight. Number one, I don't see anybody showing up in the corner of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Cody Rhodes, which we'll talk about later, is going to be busy with Grayson Waller. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in storyline for months have been talking about how the Judgment Day always, you know, uses their numbers, 4-on-1, 4-on-2, to get the upper hand. So logic, why would Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn insist on a stipulation where now Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley can get involved? Or JD McDonagh? So my gut feeling, Kev, I'm probably wrong, but I thought about it yesterday, and I'm going to stick with it. I think Finn Balor and Damian Priest are going to become your next undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, and I think JD McDonagh is going to be the reason.
I mean, I can see that scenario. That's maybe a week ago I would have shot that down, but I think after last night's Raw, which a lot of people liked it. I didn't really care for last night's Raw. I did end up watching it because I figured we mentioned some of it on tonight's show. I think that could happen. I think they're going to go around the block, I guess, a time or two before they turn Priest babyface, or they have a falling out where Priest gets excommunicated and McDonagh replaces him. Because I don't think they're going to add McDonagh as an official member. Someone's getting bounced, and it's got to be Damian Priest. And it'll happen, you know, maybe Survivor Series. I don't know. Well, you know, they'll be champions for a few weeks, maybe. And
well, this is how I look at it. Judgment Day doesn't have to be just four people. It could be five. And what I have a feeling is going to happen is, this is my thinking. And again, you know, I've said this over the years. You've said it also. You know, there's our predictions, and then it's, you know, based on our logic, and then you got to base your predictions on WWE logic. Like, what would WWE do in a case like this? And how I look at it is Damian Priest does not like JD McDonagh. He does not want JD McDonagh a part of Judgment Day. Finn Balor obviously does. And I think what may end up happening is JD McDonagh helps Finn Balor and Damian Priest become tag team champions. So Damian Priest accepts JD McDonagh in Judgment Day, you know, not thrilled about it. Then down the line, they could go one of two ways. Damian Priest could get fed up and quit Judgment Day, and then it ends up being Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, JD McDonagh, and Finn Balor. Or down the line, JD McDonagh ends up turning on his friend, his mentor, Finn Balor, and the Judgment Day end up doing to Finn Balor what they did to Edge, and then Finn Balor becomes a babyface, and then you have Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh.
Yeah, I think it could go that way. I mean, I'm not saying that there has to be four, but Priest won't be able to coexist with McDonagh in the group. Right. I have a feeling that'll be his, you know, that'll be the catalyst for a lot of problems.
Yeah. So I think I'm going with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to lose. Their WrestleMania moment was awesome. The storyline leading up to it with the Bloodline was great. Yeah. And I'm not saying that their tag team title run was a disappointment. It hasn't. You know, it's just that WWE had a lack of really diverse opponents. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are Raw wrestlers. But they really have not been involved very much on SmackDown, and they hold the SmackDown tag titles as well. Yes, I know they defended it on SmackDown, but my point is that, you know, 90% of the time, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are only on Raw. So, you know, it just feels like they could have mixed up the storyline a little bit by having Owens and Zayn feud with a team on SmackDown. The problem is then, who would have feuded with Judgment Day?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they have alienated Judgment Day so much. It's like, because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn said that they are done with Judgment Day after this. So just say hypothetically, Judgment Day become tag champs. Who does Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn feud with next?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you're right.
And who does Judgment Day feud with next?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's unless Finn Balor and Damian Priest are willing to show up on SmackDown a little bit. You know, I mean, I think whoever, personally, I think the Judgment Day need to win this and let them show up on SmackDown. Even if they go up against the Street Profits or another team, I just think this rinse and repeat of Owen Zane, Judgment Day, and someone else every goddamn week, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I agree. I'm tired of it, though.
Yeah. So who are you picking to win?
Well, obviously, I probably agree with you on the same result, pretty much. So I'll go with new tag champions.
Okay. We have Rhea, Bloody Ripley. No, Bloody is not like freaking, you know, it's not officially her title. But Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Raquel Rodriguez. They have a long history together. Friends, NXT compadres, and they are having a nice little rival right now. What do you think about this feud? What do you think about this match?
I'd like to see Raquel win it. Raquel's always kind of dominated Rhea Ripley, even in NXT. But that was a different Raquel, and that was a different Rhea Ripley. Raquel is finally not smiling as much anymore, and she's back to being kind of a badass, which she is. She's a big girl, you know. Raquel, you know, 5'11", 170 pounds. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
You know, makes Rhea Ripley appears to be a big girl, but Rhea Ripley's not as big.
No.
You know, Rhea Ripley's actually 5'7".
Yep.
But she's bigger than a lot of average guys. And a lot of guys in WWE, DT, as you know, are 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". So that's why Rhea looks so big. But Raquel is legitimately not much bigger than her, but noticeably. So she's the one who can handle her, but I don't think they're going to take the belt off of Rhea, especially if there's going to be a switch with the tag titles, which I'm thinking more and more. You're right about that, where Judgment Day has a lot of gold.
Yeah.
So to have Rhea lose it takes the shine off of if your prediction, and now mine too, comes true with to fruition with the Judgment Day winning the belts, because I see them the next night on television raising all those titles, and everybody's got to have a title.
Yeah.
Rhea retains.
Yeah. I agree. Rhea Ripley, there's no reason to take the title off her right now. I don't know how close Liv Morgan is to a return. I like the feud. I think it should actually continue a little bit more. I mean, I'm going with Rhea Ripley to retain her championship, but I would not be surprised if Raquel Rodriguez wins by DQ or we get Dominic Mysterio with some interference, and that cost Raquel Rodriguez the victory. I think it's going to be a tainted victory for Rhea Ripley. She'll keep that championship. And then this feud, I think, will continue a little bit longer because, you know, Raquel, they were selling the injury storyline, and she actually, you know, has had some injuries. So I don't think they've really touched the surface yet as far as what these two could do. I mean, look at Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. That's been going on. And on and on. And it's almost like when you're writing a book and you don't know how to finish the book. So you just keep writing and writing and writing. And that's what it kind of feels like with those two. Rhea and Raquel, I think, have just started. So
true.
I think we're going to get some clusterfuck finish. Rhea will keep that belt. And I think that feud continues on. So
agreed.
I guess since we brought up Becky and Trish, let's Kev, what do you want to talk about? Let's talk about it. Steel cage match. This is the end of their feud. Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus will be going their separate ways in the very near future. They've been planting seeds here and there. They're not on, you know, exactly on the same page. And after Raw, where Zoe Stark inadvertently hit Trish Stratus, who went to a table, that's going to obviously continue it further. We have the steel cage match. I'm kind of surprised Becky won on Raw, because I expect Becky to win this cage match. Now, for those that don't know, this is Trish Stratus's first ever cage match, which I'm kind of surprised, Kev. I mean, back then, I know the women didn't get featured anywhere near like they are now on WWE television, but you would have thought at some point Trish would have had a cage match. I mean, I never thought of her having a match with Lita in a cage, but I'm surprised Becky won on Raw. I think Becky wins again at Payback. I think Lita needs to close that book, because Lita just disappeared. I mean, Lita got injured, quote unquote, because of Trish. Trish has been running roughshod, you know, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And Lita's still nowhere to be found. So I think Lita returns. I think Lita gets involved. Maybe Zoe Stark is trying to interfere in a cage match, and Lita shows up, and Lita takes out Zoe Stark, and that allows Becky Lynch to get the win. What are you going with on this?
I'm going to go with Becky Lynch winning, too. This feud has not worked. No. This has been a big yawn fest. I don't know if, you know, some people go, oh, Kev, they don't want to boo Trish Stratus because she's so beloved. And I'm like, I believe that a little bit, but I also think they're tired of Trish Stratus a little bit. And I love Trish Stratus. And I think, you know, when it comes to her and Lita and people like that, and just like when you have, you know, you have a guy like, say, even an RVD or whatever, people who can still go, but they're on the cusp of 50 or over 50. Hey, listen, my generation, my people. But, you know, step aside after a while. I don't think anybody wants to see. Sting might be the ultimate exception to the rule of someone past their prime who comes back. But he does such limited stuff. I mean, I saw what he did at All In. But I think people want to see Trish go away. I think they're kind of like, yeah, we're tired. Come back in about a year and we'll give you your props, but be a babyface again, because they're just not into this. And I don't think they buy that Trish is going to be around long. So why invest themselves in her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Becky's shy. Becky is not a top girl anymore. DT, her reactions are half-assed at best, half crowd getting out of their feet. It's always weird when you look at the crowd and she comes out and like half the people are sitting down and half are standing up. Back in 2019, everybody was standing up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, it's, I think people might say that big time Bex and the Lords of the Ring crazy talking girl that she was doing, my precious and all that stuff, really killed her character. I don't think it killed the character. I don't know if people, believe in that four horsewomen thing anymore. I don't think it's, you know, Mercedes is gone. She's done. She's not going to be back in WWE anytime soon. Bayley has stepped aside to let Io Shirai take the spotlight. Charlotte Flair's in and out, in and out, in and out. I don't think that whole thing of those four women like run the business. It's nah. You know, you got people like Bianca Belair and Io Shirai now. Those girls have stepped aside, and I think they might see Becky as kind of like, it sounds weird to say this, DT, kind of like passe.
An attraction. You
know? Yeah, like an attraction, not like to be, and she's so wafy and small. She looks great. Don't get me wrong. I think she looks beautiful. Never seen her look more attractive, but she's so tiny and wafish. So her tough guy in it and stuff, and, you know, walking around strutting, yeah, I'm going to knock you out. No one buys it, and she's not legit in real life. She's not like she's an MMA fighter like a Shayna Baszler. So her tough girl thing, I think people are looking at now like, I don't really think you can take Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark looks like she could beat the shit out of you.
By the way, what happened with Shayna Baszler?
That's a good question, too. Yeah, I don't even know if people want to see a tough girl anymore. Maybe that's it, too. I think the fans, when it comes to the women, I think they just want to connect to like, that's why Liv Morgan like is beloved and stuff. I don't know if the fans DT anymore want to see a tough girl, a Steve Austin version woman style. I don't think they want to see that. I think they want to see, that's why I think, you know, some people get on Raquel Rodriguez for smiling too much or whatever, but I'm like, but she is a baby face. She should smile sometimes.
I agree.
You know,
what gets me mad about the Becky Trish feud is this. When you criticize the feud not working anywhere as good as it should have, for some reason, a lot of people online interpret that as me being disrespectful towards both women. Simply because you criticize the feud, you're disrespecting them. And that's the thing that turns me off even more about this.
I agree.
The problem with Trish Stratus for me is simple. When you watch wrestling, it's suspension of disbelief. The character, it's supposed to, you feel like it's a reflection. It's of the person, the actual person. Just, you know, kind of like, you know, on steroids. And I don't mean that physically. I'm just saying, like, you know, the person you're identifying with, you know, you kind of feel like in real life, you know, they kind of similar. Trish Stratus comes off as an actress playing a heel in wrestling.
Yes, an actress. Yes, a perfect analogy.
She comes off as an actress playing a heel. It doesn't feel like Trish Stratus, you know, in her latter stages of her career, suddenly turned into a cocky, nasty bitch. You know, she just... You watch her social media, you watch, you know, how she was living her life before she turned heel, and then she turns heel, and it's like, okay, it doesn't necessarily match as far as what we see outside the ring. That's why, you know, when Drew McIntyre turns heel and beats the balls out of Riddle, Drew McIntyre is not very active on social media. You know, so it's not like we're watching every day the life of Drew McIntyre, and we know he's a good guy, but he doesn't remind us every day in his personal life as far as what he is and who he is. Trish Stratus, it just comes off fake. You don't feel like her personality is reflecting who she is to an extent. I can't wait for this storyline to be over. Maybe Shayna Baszler might be the perfect person to feud with Becky Lynch next. Maybe Shayna Baszler just stretches out Becky Lynch. And guess what? I actually think Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler may be a pretty fucking good women's tag team.
Well, you know, it's funny. Someone said to me, I don't get it, though. Trish played such a good heel all those years ago before she called it a day. When, the 17, 18 years ago when she wore that face mask. How come she got over as a heel then and people hated her? She wasn't on social media posting yoga videos with her cute two kids.
Yes.
You know, right, DT? Yeah. She wasn't on, you know, you didn't see, here's me with my cute little curly head, Muppet of a kid. And here's me doing, a donation drive for Canada. You didn't see that side of it, because it's not even that kayfabe was still alive back then, because Vince had already blown the doors off of that well before Trish Stratus got there. But when she was in her heel mode and her and Lita headlined Monday Night Raw all those years ago, there wasn't these platforms. You didn't have take a look at me on Instagram every day with a new picture with my kids. Here's me out with my girlfriends. Here's me out at a diner.
Yeah, here's me like getting in a Lifetime Achievement Award in Canada, yes, and I'm getting a street named after me. And
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going with Becky to win, and I think Lita needs to make a return just to add a little bit of extra to this match.
And then maybe the crowd will pop a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So who are you going with?
Sorry, I had to get a drink.
No, it's okay.
I'm going to go with Becky, but with outside interference from a returning Lita.
Okay. So we are 3-for-3 so far with our predictions. All right. We may run the table tonight. All right. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Now, before we get into a match that has not been announced that we have a feeling will happen, very quickly, let's flash back to the first ever WWE Payback, which happened 10 years ago, And just to give everybody a little bit of an idea as far as how much WWE has changed and how many of these individuals are still wrestling and how many are not. 10 years ago, WWE Payback, Sheamus beat Damian Sandow. Curtis Axel, with Paul Heyman in his corner, defeated Wade Barrett and The Miz to become the Intercontinental Champion. AJ Lee defeated Caitlin to win the Divas Championship. Dean Ambrose defeated Kane by countout to retain the United States Championship. Alberto Del Rio defeated Dolph Ziggler to become the World Heavyweight Champion. CM Punk, with Paul Heyman in his corner, defeated Chris Jericho. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins retained the WWE Tag Team Championships, defeating Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. And the main event, Three Stages of Hell. I got to do it in my Vince voice. The Three Stages of Hell. John Cena defeats Ryback 2-1. The first stage was a lumberjack match won by Ryback. The second stage was a tables match won by John Cena. And the third stage was an ambulance match also won by John Cena. That was 10 years ago. The last payback that we had prior to this coming weekend was in 2020. And the match results from there were the Riot Squad, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan defeating the Iconics. Bobby Lashley, with MVP and Shelton Benjamin in his corner, defeated Apollo Crews to win the United States Championship. Big E over Sheamus, Matt Riddle over King Corbin. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax beat Bayley and Sasha Banks to become the WWE Tag Team Champions. Keith Lee over Randy Orton. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio over Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. It's already been 3 years, everybody. And the main event, a no-holds-barred triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns defeats Braun Strowman and the reigning heavyweight champion at the time, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. So Roman Reigns became your Universal Champion. That was 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Three years ago. So this Saturday for Payback, and by the way, even though I will be in Florida, you know, barring any complications from this hurricane, I think we'll be good to go. I'm flying to Florida Friday, 1 year wedding anniversary.
Is the hurricane hitting that area that you go?
It's hitting Tampa, which is north of, like, Naples, Marco Island, but they're still expecting, I think, 3 to 5 feet storm surge in Marco Island. But they believe by Friday it'll be long gone. My only concern is, even if it's out to sea, I think that's right in the path of where the plane goes. But, you know, as of right now, I'm still going. But we're still doing a predictions contest, everyone. I'll put the thread up probably Thursday. It may have to be Friday night because they may add a match to SmackDown. We're not sure. So it's going to be kind of tricky. It'll either be up Thursday or Friday, and everybody will have until Saturday afternoon to get their predictions in. So my gut feeling is we'll probably do it Thursday. And even if they add a match, it won't be part of it. But, you know, we're going to do one anyway. So, but just keep in mind, I'm not going to have access to my normal stuff. So don't wait to the last minute to put your predictions in, because the cutoff will probably be at like 12 noon. So,
yeah.
All right. Cody Rhodes is going to be on the Grayson Waller effect. And you and I, you know, we're old. I mean, let's be honest, we're older.
This is true.
But in a pleasant way, you know, we grew up maybe a little past Dusty Rhodes, but we knew who Dusty Rhodes was, what he was, you know, chasing the gold, not necessarily possessing the gold, finishing the story. Cody Rhodes, so many little Dusty-isms that I like to call them. You know, even when he turns around and says, for everybody at home, please forgive me for a second while I turn my back on you so I could just acknowledge everybody live. There are so many little things, even with Byron Saxton last week, when Byron was interviewing him in the back and Cody says, you know, something's not right here. You know what? I know what we got to do. And Cody Rhodes walks into the arena. Because sitting in the back is not good enough for him. He's got to be in front of the fans. I personally think, even though they're in Pittsburgh, I don't think it matters, Pittsburgh, but I could picture Cody Rhodes cutting a promo for that live crowd. Did you guys pay your money just to see me talk? I think Cody Rhodes is going to tell the fans that he wants to fight. He wants to wrestle. I think Cody Rhodes will end up having an impromptu match with Grayson Waller. The only problem is that why would Cody Rhodes come out in gear? You know, like he's always comes out for interviews wearing a suit. So I think we are going to get a little bit of a physical confrontation with Cody Rhodes and Grayson Waller. If they end up having a match, I'm going with Cody Rhodes, obviously, to win it. But, I mean, where do you see this? Because I think we're kind of surprised Cody Rhodes does not have a match.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there'll be an impromptu match. It'll probably be Cody versus Grayson Waller. And Cody needs some stuff to do before he goes after Roman Reigns in the new year. So he needs some fresh opponents, and Grayson Waller could be a catalyst for the Troublemaker and all that stuff. So, yeah, I can see an impromptu match. You're right.
Do you think it would hurt Grayson Waller's momentum if Cody Rhodes, you know, like they had an impromptu match and Cody Rhodes is wearing a suit and he starts beating on Grayson Waller and actually with dress shoes and everything and actually beats Grayson Waller in his dress clothes?
I mean, I guess it's possible. I mean, sure, didn't Cody Rhodes do that when Baron Corbin got in his face on a Raw?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
He insulted him, and then Corbin and him went out to the ring, and then Cody Rhodes was in his suit and tie.
Yeah.
I think Cody beat Corbin up, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get that impromptu match. Just for even the match results, I think we're going to see Cody Rhodes impromptu with Grayson Waller. So let's see, how many matches we have? We have three matches left, the cover.
Okay.
I think this one is probably the most predictable, and I say that kind of with a question mark, but LA Knight will be taking on The Miz.
Yes.
This feud has been a lot of fun. I personally think that if LA Knight wouldn't have lost to Austin Theory recently, I could have seen some bullshit swerve as somebody interferes or gets involved and cause LA Knight to win. But since The Miz is not going to lose anything, he's not going to lose any cred, he's not going to lose anything about his career, you know, by being pinned, I think LA Knight has to come out on top in this match with The Miz.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Miz never seems to mind doing the favors to help somebody get over and stuff. You know, because people could say Miz is still in his prime, but I think Miz is a company guy. He'll do whatever they ask him to do. I don't think wins and losses mean anything, even though Miz is a two-time world champion. His career is cemented at this point. He's another guy over 40. He's not on the downside of his career, but he needs to help put people over. I think, actually, Miz is probably the same age as LA Knight. But LA Knight is looked at as like an up-and-coming rising star. It's so funny that LA Knight is actually in the business longer than The Miz. Started in 2003.
The Miz is 42 years old. He's going to be 43 in October. And LA Knight is 40. He'll be 41 in November. So he's about 2 years older than LA Knight.
Yeah, but he started in the business before The Miz.
Sure, yeah. LA Knight's been wrestling since 2003.
20 years, wow.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Wait a minute. The Miz made his debut, wasn't it 2003
Five.
Also?
I think it's 2005, I think.
I think, you know what? He debuted on TV, I think, in 2004.
Did he?
Yeah, I think in 2000. Well, you know why I say that?
Didn't have Miz Mike, the announcer, and he was the man in the, he was kind of like a, MTV-ish guy.
Yeah, it was more two. Yeah. I think 2006 is when he made his WWE debut, but he was wrestling in 2004 and 2005. I would say 2005 would really be when the Miz first really started getting serious wrestling. You know, I brought this up before. When the Miz was in the fourth season of Tough Enough, one of the shows that I went partners with Frank Goodman for USA Pro Wrestling, the whole Tough Enough squad went to that event, and we met Jonathan Coachman, we met The Miz, we met the whole roster for season four of Tough Enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually showed up, and you know, it's, I always wanted to do this, but I never bothered to look, and I'm going to do it right now. Jonathan Coachman is, oh, okay, he's 6 foot three. I don't, for some reason at that time, I thought the coach was a lot taller than me. I don't know why, but I guess we're the same height. But Jonathan Coachman, you know, he was there with the Miz, and they all sat in the boondocks of the Elks Lodge, and they were all pretty damn cool.
Nice.
They were all pretty cool, but still, I think LA Knight has to get the win here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with LA Knight gets the pin.
Do you feel like LA Knight has finally turned the corner? That, and I don't, I mean, obviously we know the crowd reaction, but in the eyes of WWE, do you feel like they have finally like turned the corner? I mean, you know, if you look between the lines, he ain't winning a title anytime soon.
No, he's not winning the title anytime soon. He's an attraction, you know, the way Roddy Piper was an attraction and guys like that. And quite honestly, I don't even really think Austin and Rock had to be champions back in their day. I'm not trying to put him on that level of Piper. Austin and Rock, he's got a long way to go. But, he's IC U.S. title, IC champion material. He'll get one of those eventually. But I will say this, because I didn't do a show. I wasn't on a show during this whole... I did the Thursday podcast. Bray Wyatt had just died then for the Patreon, yeah. For a limited audience. But I'll say this about, because obviously SmackDown aired the next night. Yeah. I thought LA Knight did a great job, and that's a great honor that WWE put the faith in him to close the show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty big. You know, like, I'll be honest with you. I thought, you know, somebody of a bigger star caliber was going to close the show, like Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins, and then I realized Rollins wasn't there. And I don't know if Reigns was there, but Reigns wasn't shown on television. Well, maybe they're trying to preserve Reigns' bad guy character like they do with Taker and people like that. I thought that was and he did a good job. And when he cut that promo in the ring, I thought he was very good. And when he ended with the run thing, tribute to Bray, I thought that might be his moment where I'm like, there it is. Like, that might be it right there. There it is.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I know it. See, the funny thing is, you know, when people compare certain aspects of LA Knight to Stone Cold or The Rock, for some reason, it's always perceived that that's a negative thing. I personally don't think so, because when Steve Austin, you know, was toasting, you know, when wrestlers had passed back in the day, Steve Austin was the guy. And then later
Owen
Hart, great example. Later in years, it was John Cena who was the guy. But the thing I loved about what LA Knight said and did is because there was a presence. And I don't mean presence of Bray Wyatt. I mean, even though yesterday kind of freaked me out. Did you see that video?
Which video?
The Moth.
Yes, I did see that. Someone showed me that it was on YouTube.
How bizarre was that?
That was crazy. That was, and I thought it was funny in the comments where people thought it was a setup.
I'm
how could you set an insect up to come in at a certain time?
I know. I couldn't believe it. But I mean, in all the years of ever doing shows, I've never had a moth in my house. I might have had a fruit fly. I may have had a fly to come. But the minute I said that Bray Wyatt went to sleep and never woke up, this fucking moth flies in the picture and starts nibbing on my face. And I'm like, that's too bizarre. But getting back to LA Knight, I felt the presence. I felt like almost like LA Knight was a leader representing WWE SmackDown. Like when Austin was the go-to to do a toast, or John Cena, you know, even, I mean, if you want to go on bigger scales, when you think about Saddam Hussein, when he, who was killed?
Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, no, Saddam Hussein. No, no, the Al-Qaeda leader. Oh, my God. Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden, yeah.
You know, if you remember, it was John Cena who cut that promo, and they had him do it. But, you know, when it comes to, like, wrestler deaths and mourning, you know, you don't have someone, you know, be that one to talk and to give that emotion. And L.A. Knight, it felt like they gave him that mic and there was a presence. You know, it felt like, you know, it felt like he's not necessarily become a leader in WWE, but it feels like WWE is fine with him being a representative to, like,
they gave him the ball to run with a little bit.
Yeah. So I think LA Knight has to get this win over the Miz, and the Miz loses no cred whatsoever, even if he loses this match. So.
No, it's, again, they have to throw some opponents at him. If you even remember when, I hate to keep going back to Austin Rock and stuff, but they threw everybody at these guys. I mean, just like we're talking about with Cody, I mean, you know, because people could say Grayson Waller's a step down, but there has to be some stuff going on until they get to their ultimate goal, to bigger things. You know, I mean, I don't know who LA Knight feuds with next, but Miz, and by the way, I'm not so sure it's a one and done, DT. I think LA Knight will win, but maybe Miz beats him up in the end, knocks him out, or does something, you know?
Yeah, I could continue. And you know what? They actually seem to work good together. You know,
yeah, they complement each other, yeah.
And they're similar in size. I mean, yep. Miz did a great impersonation of him on Monday, and I was shocked. Even when he went into the ring, I'm like, some people still don't realize that it's the Miz.
Yeah, yes, he did. He did. Like, we just discussed they're close in age. So, I mean, they could feud for a few matches. You know, they can drag this out a little bit. I mean, where's anybody going? Everyone's locked into this company for a while. No one's contracts running out here. So it's fine. It's totally fine.
All right. This leaves us Rey Mysterio defending the United States Championship against Austin Theory. Now, this Friday, we have Rey Mysterio teaming up with Santos Escobar, and they're going to be taking on Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Now, this is a rematch, you know, after Rey Mysterio, who substituted Santos Escobar very recently and beat Austin Theory for the United States Championship. You almost feel like Rey may end up having a match with Santos Escobar. You almost feel like it has to happen. Like, I could see if Vince was leading creative from, like, a couple of years ago, I could see Austin Theory regaining that championship.
I
have a feeling they're going to keep it on Rey, and I think down the line they're going to have to address Santos Escobar is earned the title shot. And I almost feel like, you know, the last match they had ended abruptly because of Rey Mysterio getting knocked for a loop outside the ring. Yeah. The only question is, some people think Santos Escobar will turn heel. I personally don't see that happening, because if Santos turns heel, that's pretty much the end of the LWO.
That's true. Yeah, so, no, I don't see him turning heel. That's too obvious.
Yeah. Who are you going with Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory?
I think WWE's lost a little faith in Austin Theory. I think Rey Mysterio retains.
It does feel like they've lost a little faith in him.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do too much with him after WrestleMania.
No.
You know, but that's more on them. But when you do see Austin Theory in a ring, does it feel like he has lost something? Or is it more that he hasn't improved since WrestleMania?
Yeah, I don't think he has. Yeah, I don't think he hasn't improved. I just think that they're curtailing him a little bit. They're sidelining him a little bit. I don't think you're gonna start squashing him and stuff. But I think, you know, there's a process that they have to go through with this guy.
Okay. So far we are in agreement of everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, this leads to what is likely going to be closing out the show.
Okay.
That is Seth freaking Rollins defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura. And yesterday we had the latest video package with Shinsuke. I brought it up yesterday. I can't believe in all the years that Shinsuke Nakamura has been in WWE, because he went to WWE in, what, 2016? He was in NXT from 2016 to 2017. So he's been on that main roster for 6 years. And for some reason, they always were against having video packages of him just talking in Japanese. It was like, if you don't speak English, you rarely get to have any video packages where you talk. You know, it's almost like you're either mute or you're like Asuka when you just, you know, almost like ramble out there.
That's true.
But I got to be honest with you. I'm rooting for Shinsuke Nakamura here. I am a big fan of Seth Rollins. I was, even before he turned into the character he is now. But I even said this yesterday. Him talking about that his back is broken in two places, I don't think is resonating with the fans, even if it's true. And it is true, because when you watch him take on Finn Balor, when you watch him take on Damian Priest, when you watch him take on AJ Styles, when you watch him take on anybody, he never sells the bad back. He never acts like he has something wrong. Like, if he would have been selling, you know, the issues with his back, or we visibly saw him in pain, you know, I think you would be like, you know what, got to give that guy a lot of fucking credit, man. He's taking his championship. You could see it's visibly hurting him, and he's still trying to give us 100%. But now when he cuts a promo and he keeps saying, my broken back, you know, my back broken in two places.
No.
I don't have any sympathy for him. And when I see Nakamura doing these videos, you know, I'm going to break your back. I'm going to, you know, you're not even going to be able to walk your daughter down the aisle.
Wow.
I mean, I'm rooting for fucking Nakamura to win this. But I have a feeling Seth Rollins is going to retain.
I don't like either guy, to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of either guy. As a matter of fact, when I was watching, I mean, I think Nakamura, Cross told me he's a great guy. I mean, in real life, I'm sure he's a great guy, but I don't like the character. I'm not really into Shinsuke Nakamura, even as a heel. And I'm not a Seth Rollins fan at all. But, you know, it's funny, as I was watching him do the vignette, I was thinking back of Gene Okerlund on the bridge with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat with the ninjas. Remember that? Like, yeah. the karate? Yeah. I mean, and Shinsuke is a real karate guy. He goes to jiu-jitsu class with Cross and Matt Riddle. But I just was having flashbacks of Ricky Steamboat just knocking out the ninjas with Gene Okerlund there on the makeshift bridge. Just, I don't know. I'm not that interested in the whole break your back and I know the secrets of your bad back. I don't know. This, you know, as a matter of fact, I have to work Saturday night. I'm not even disappointed that I have to watch it on the replay on Sunday or like on Peacock. Like, I'll watch it. I'll watch the replay on Sunday morning when I get up, but I won't be home. And I'm not hating it. I was actually just talking to my doorman before. He's like, "Yeah, you can't. You're missing the pay-per-view on live." Nah, not really. This would be a one to miss. We were even saying how, you know, this would be one that we can watch on the replay. We don't have to feel like, oh, damn, I wish I was watching it. You know, again, I'll watch it. I'll talk about it next week, whatever. But, yeah, I can't watch it live anyway. But I'm not this. I don't know. You know, no Roman Reigns and no Bloodline, no Usos. No, there's a lot of people, like you said, DT, missing from the pay-per-view. Maybe it'll turn out to be good. You know, before we've saw these pay-per-views as kind of like one-off. So, like, ah, this ain't going to be that great. And it turned out to be, like, you know, high ranking. You know, we gave it high marks. But, yeah, I'm not hating that I have to miss it live. But I'll try to avoid, you know, reading online. I'm sure I'll wind up finding the results in advance. But I'm not a fan of either guy, but I'm going to go with Rollins to retain. I mean, as I'm going on about this, but I'm going to go with Rollins to retain. I don't see Shinsuke. I mean, Raw's got enough problems. They're going to put the belt on someone who's even less a draw than Seth Rollins? Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie or deny it. There's been a lot of time that I was not a fan of Nakamura because WWE just, you know, it was more of like comedic in the ring. You know, like even when he would do some of his moves, it just didn't even feel like it was believable.
Yeah.
I personally, of his entire run on the main roster, I think the last 3 weeks I've enjoyed him more than anything else. But I will say this. Do you remember when they were setting up the match with him and Cross a couple of months ago, like right around draft time, and they were showing the video package of him working out in the gym? Did they use the same footage?
Yeah, it's the same footage.
It is the same footage. Because I was watching it, and I'm like, this looks awfully freaking familiar. But,
that's what I'm saying. They're reusing footage. I don't know how important this is. You know, I mean, again, it reminds me of like when Brock Lesnar had to fight Bob Holly. Like, you would think, like, you know, an opponent like that for the champion or for someone, like, oh, can't they do a bit better than that on pay-per-view? And sometimes it'll surprise you. They match up. I mean, body wise and size and stuff, they match up pretty good. I mean, they're not. It's a great. Some people might even call it a dream match in a lot of ways. Especially if you're a New Japan or Ring of Honor mark, you'll probably be like, "Oh, this is my kind of match." Forget Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. That's this Seth Rollins and Nakamura. That's a wrestling classic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, Seth Rollins with his Adrian Street impersonation without the makeup, and Nakamura being this evil, you know, Mr. Devious One, Mr. Fuji. I don't know, man. I don't expect anything big to happen. I think it's just kind of a tweener, and it's something to give Seth Rollins something to do, and they want people to think that, well, it's legitimate. Seth Rollins, I mean, he does have back problems and stuff, but I don't think he's looking at stepping down anytime soon. Do you, DT?
No. I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the back would have been brought up a hell of a lot more. But I'll say this with this feud. I'm kind of annoyed that Nakamura, I personally think the biggest mistake the WWE did make with this feud is, you know, like if you watch everything about Nakamura the last couple of weeks, like, I don't think once we've really seen him say, you know, I want to become champion. He out of nowhere, he decides to attack Seth Rollins because he's got a bad back. Well, what took him so long? You know, like, at least make it feel like you want the World Heavyweight Championship, that you believe that you'll be a better champion, that you want, like, it feels more about, like, I want to hurt Seth Rollins. Where did this anger come from? You know, like, all of a sudden he's on the rag, you know?
I agree.
But I'm with you. If this was back in the day, WWE Payback would be an In Your House. It would not be a major pay-per-view. It'd be one of those WWE In Your Houses. You know, it would be like $9.99 or $12.99, whatever price was at that time. It's lacking. And even Cody Rhodes doing a special attraction thing with Grayson Waller, you know, I just feel like I could pass up Rhea and Raquel. I could pass up Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory. LA Knight and The Miz, we've seen him go at it already. I'm fucking tired of Owens and Zayn in the Judgment Day. And Becky and Trish, they'll salvage this feud, but this has just been pain. You know, it hasn't been miserable, but it's been very disappointing. But I guess before we go, which match are you looking forward to the most? Which match are you looking forward to the least?
Okay, out of the one I'm looking forward to the most, probably the tag team match with Judgment Day and Owens and Zayn.
I agree.
So I think it's going to be a good one. The match I'm looking forward to the least, jeez, let me think. Honestly, Nakamura and Rollins. I'm not invested in either character, to be honest with you.
All right. I'm with you with the tag match. I mean, and the only reason why I say that is because I want to see the Judgment Day become the tag champs. I like what you said earlier. On Raw the next day, they all open up. They don't even walk down to the ring. Like, as soon as Raw starts, they're in the ring with the dark lighting, and they all lift up their championships. You know, and then Rhea Ripley could do the same. You know, we told you we won Monday Night Raw. For me, Rey Mysterio and Austin Theory, I'm looking forward to the least. I like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I might want to change my mind and say at least I like the matchup of Nakamura. Like I said, some people look at it as a dream match because of their history and how accomplished they are in New Japan and Ring of Honor. So I'll go with your thing. I'll let you finish. But, yeah, a matter of fact, Mysterio and Austin Theory, unless I hear something like on the replay that it's worth watching, yeah. I might skip it.
I don't blame you. I mean So we've run the table, everyone. Have we ever done that before?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. We have run the fucking table. And Kev and I, when we do these shows now, we don't talk in advance. It's not that, you know, that we despise each other and we don't want to talk. It's because we kind of don't want to know what each other is thinking until we have the conversation, you know. But
We're so seasoned vets at this point anymore. I mean, it's 101 for us. I mean, yeah. To me, that's why everyone said, what's the most enjoyable part about doing these reunion shows? I says, flowing back into the old act like the early days. Yeah. It just seems it's fun. It's much, me and you have different lives than we had back, much different lives, when different places were so much older. And with older comes seasoned. I mean, yeah. I saw the show you did. I very rarely leave YouTube messages for anybody or comment, and I felt inclined to comment on the show that you did the tribute to Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk. I thought it was great. I thought it was like one of the best shows you've done. I listened to the whole show. I listened to like a whole 3 hours of it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It was a great show.
Yeah, I did thank you online. I didn't even know that was you when I saw it.
Yeah, that was me. No, that was me.
No, I appreciate it. No, thank you. I mean, yeah, I've had a few people tell me that's like the best. And it sucks that people have to die to like bring out like, like a good show. But,
But the thing about what you did was that you really are a big fan of both those guys.
Yeah.
So like your emotion was real. I knew that. That's why I even watched it. I'm like, wow, I got to see how Anthony handles this show, because, Bray Wyatt, one thing, but Terry Fine, both of them. I was like, both of them, you've put those guys over since I know you.
Yeah.
I mean, Terry Funk, since we were doing the Hotline.
Yeah.
I mean, you were the funker back then.
Yep.
So it was like, and then with Bray Wyatt, when he first came out, matter of fact, if you remember on DTKC, when they first got brought up, you were using the We're Here thing and logos for our show.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Like Bray Wyatt clips. So that's why I says, wow, this is going to be interesting how you handle it. And I thought you did a really good job. I thought it was definitely one of the best. Out of all the podcasts I've watched talk about this, I thought you were probably the best.
I really appreciate that. I mean, I went into that with nothing. I just wanted to get like a video clip of each one, but not like something that everybody would put up. So I took, just Bray Wyatt interacted with a kid and some old Terry Funk indie stuff that I thought was hilarious. But, it was very, very tired.
From the heart. Those are the best shows.
I popped 3 Tylenols and I took a nap for 2 hours.
Wow.
That's it. Just, it was draining, but I really appreciate that.
Oh, man.
And I thank you for hanging out tonight.
Absolutely.
Payback, not going to lie, as of right now, it feels passable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm going to be watching it live either. I think I'll hear the results, and if it's worth tuning in, I will check it out next week. But, Kev, much love as always. And
absolutely,
everyone, don't forget, this Thursday, Kev will be doing his Castle Chronicles at 10:15. So come back, patreon.com, and, check it out. And I'll be going on vacation from the 1st to the 9th.
So when's your next? Oh, and just to let people know, Trez had shoulder surgery, so she's out of commission. She had a real rough like a healing process for her. Shoulder surgery has been really rough on her.
Shout out to Trez.
Yeah, shout out to Trez. Yeah, the surgery was successful, but she's having, it's been a hard healing process.
Yeah, and it's not, listen, I had shoulder and bicep while back, not really bicep, but labrum. And labrum. It's not pleasant to sit up. For long periods of time, you start getting like strains and cramps, and
you can't sleep. She says, you can't sleep.
Yeah,
you can't sleep.
Especially if you're not a side sleeper, it's not fun. So, I feel her pain. I just, I wish her a speedy recovery and, rest is the most important thing, But, Kev, Have a good one, my friend.
Yeah, you have a good one. Good luck in Florida. It's funny. I have a there's a correlation with me with Florida too. One of our the headlining band is playing for us on Saturday night. Is coming from that area of Florida, driving down to New York.
Oh wow!
But I think they're leaving on Thursday, so they'll miss the probably they'll probably be glad to get away from there and be in New York during the storm. But we have a band from Florida. Actually, I have to talk to them tomorrow. Make sure everything is on point for this weekend coming down to New York.
All right. Cool.
All right, man. All right, thanks, Ed. Have a good vacation, man.
All right, thank you. Take Peace. Care. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this premium predictions for WWE Payback. You know, again, we're not dogging the show. We're just giving our honest thoughts on it. I think with the oversaturation of Judgment Day with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for way too long, I think the JD McDonagh aspect of it and maybe having a title change is what would make this. I mean, I feel like they did the street fight to try to make it exciting because a straight up match, I think people are just sick and tired of. But again, you look at the storyline, you're kind of confused. Like, why would Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn do a no DQ match pretty much and allow, you know, Dominic and Rhea Ripley to get involved? They were trying to do the opposite. The other matches, you know, Rey Mysterio, Austin Theory, I'm not interested really in. Rhea Ripley and Raquel seems like they've just started, so I think it'll be a competitive match, but there's no reason. And as Kev said earlier, if Finn Balor and Damian Priest win the tag titles, you're not going to have Rhea Ripley be the only one without a title, so you pretty much know what's going on there. Becky and Trish has been an absolute disappointment. It felt forced. And I will say this in closing, and I should have said this earlier. Becky Lynch working with Trish Stratus is a dream for Becky Lynch. Trish Stratus getting to work with one of her favorites of this generation is a bucket list for Trish. The people involved, Zoe teaming up with Trish, that is epic for Zoe. It is something that she will take for the rest of her career and appreciate. Even when Lita was around. So for the participants involved, this is very, very important to them, and it's very special to them. But as wrestling fans, it has not really come off on TV. Maybe it's not coming off well on TV because we know how much they do care about each other. That could be it. I mean, the fact that they are so, you know, like personal and intimate, and I don't mean that in a sexual way, but that could be what ruins it because, you know, even when Becky, as I said yesterday, Singapore caning Trish, she was making sure that she hit her in the butt, you know, over and over again. Like, do not hit the exposed back at all. Let's just hit her in the butt where she's got the tights and underwear to protect her a little bit. Seth Rollins and Nakamura, I know, you know, it's not something Kev is really interested in seeing. And, you know, I respect that completely. I'm invested in it to a certain extent, but it feels like a Raw match. And LA Knight and The Miz, it's going to be a fun match, but is it premium live event pay-per-view? I would have rather see Gunther versus Chad Gable because we know the outcome of that match as well. But I think they would put on, you know, a little bit stronger of a match. But anyway, enough of me rambling. I'm going to get out of here. So I hope you all enjoy WWE Payback. For my Patreon family and for my channel members on YouTube, as I said earlier, you will be getting your predictions contest. Even though I'll be in Florida, I'm going to be putting everything up early. So if you want to be part of it, it is optional, you know, and it doesn't cost anything. And, hey, you might win a 50 spot in the process each place. For everyone else, I will be doing a Wednesday night Dynamite show on Wednesday, August 30th. We will be talking a little bit more about this, you know, disaster that went on behind the scenes with CM Punk and Jack Perry. We'll also be talking a little bit about Impact Wrestling. There's a lot of news coming out of Impact Wrestling. NWA, some news, not only Tyrus legitimately retiring, but Camille losing her women's championship after over 800 days, and Camille is done with NWA. Do you want to see Camille in AEW? Do you want to see Camille in Impact Wrestling? Do you want to see Camille in NXT? So that is something we'll be talking about as well. We'll also talk about NXT. Kiana James is your new number one contender for the women's championship against Tiffany Stratton. That's interesting. On the men's side, we got a few things going on as well. And so we got a lot to talk about for Wednesday Night Dynamite. And then the Q&A that I have, that is going to be recorded Thursday, but it'll drop online for everybody on September 4th. So, all right, I'm out of here. Everyone, be well. Much love as always. And I'll catch you all again soon. Enjoy Payback.
Yes! That was cool. Yeah.